Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to our half-hour English feature program. I'm Susie Hodges. These are the stories that I'll be looking into on today's program. Pope Benedict focuses on the figure of the 4th century Italian bishop Saint Chromatius at his weekly general audience. We look at how the Holy See and Catholic NGOs share the same passion to promote human dignity. We find out how the late Pope John Paul is storming the charts as the star of a new DVD called Santo Subito, or Sainthood Immediately, that portrays his life set to music. The Holy See's permanent observer to the UN, Archbishop Tomasi, tells us about an international conference of the Red Cross and Red Crescent that discussed greater collaboration when responding to humanitarian crises. And Archbishop Tomasi talks to us about the role of the Church when helping to protect the rights of migrant people. Benedict focused on the figure of the 4th century Italian bishop Saint Chromatius at his weekly general audience today. Chris Altieri reports.
Pope Benedict XVI today praised a 4th century anti-Arian bishop of a northern Italian diocese, Saint Chromatius, as a tireless defender of the faith and protector of the faithful in his charge. Saint Chromatius was bishop of Aquileia in northern Italy during the late 4th and early 5th centuries, a period of great theological and social ferment, and not infrequently confusion. The Pope said Saint Chromatius was a great teacher during this often trying period of growth for the Church, praiseworthy for both his substance and his style.
In a lively Latin filled with striking imagery, he proclaimed the truths of the faith, sustained his flock in hope, amidst the uncertainties of the times, and above all taught them to pray with confidence in the Lord's victory over evil and his unfailing mercy toward his holy ones.
One of the major challenges facing the Church in the time of Saint Chromatius was Arianism, a theological movement based on the teachings of Bishop Arius. Arianism denies that Christ is of one essence, nature, or substance with God the Father, and may be described as an attempt to rationalize the creed by stripping it of mystery as regards the relation of the Son to the Father. Thanks to the celebrated synod held in Aquileia, great strides were made toward successfully combating Arian heresy in the West.
Born of a devout Christian family, Chromatius became a priest, attended the synod as an expert, and was then ordained bishop of Aquileia.
The Holy Father discussed how Saint Chromatius taught the true faith in the midst of confusion and ferment.
His teaching emphasized the mystery of the Blessed Trinity, the work of the Holy Spirit, the divinity and integral humanity of Christ, the dignity of the Virgin Mary, and the unity of the Church.
Saint Chromatius also had great pastoral energy and sensibility.
He was a zealous pastor, governing his enormous diocese during the turbulent time of the invasions of the Goths and the Huns.
Pope Benedict discussed Saint Chromatius' many activities with other, more well-known ecclesiastical luminaries of his time, like Saint Jerome, who prepared the Latin translation of the Bible that stood for centuries as the authoritative edition of Scripture in the West.
Chromatius assisted Saint Jerome in the preparation of the Vulgate, and left behind a number of sermons and a series of tracts on the Gospel of Matthew.
Saint Chromatius died in the first decade of the 5th century after leading the Church in Aquileia for nearly 20 years, first as priest and later as bishop. The Holy Father also had special greetings for groups of religious and other pilgrims who were at the audience, including the ecumenical voices of a Methodist choir from the United States.
I am pleased to welcome the Marist and Marianist brothers visiting Rome for a program of spiritual renewal. I also greet the African-American Methodist choir with gratitude for the praise of God in song. Upon all the English-speaking pilgrims and visitors, especially those from Sweden, the United States, I invoke God's blessings of joy, and peace.
Wednesday's audience was the first of the Advent season, which Pope Benedict opened this past Saturday with solemn vespers in St. Peter's Basilica, during which the Pope offered his new encyclical, Spe Salvi, to the whole Church and all the faithful. I'm Chris Altieri.
Pope Benedict says the Holy See and Catholic non-governmental organisations, or NGOs, share the same passion to promote human dignity. The Pope's remark was the central theme of his address to participants in a three-day forum held in the Vatican with Catholic NGOs, which ended on Sunday. The Secretariat of State organised the meeting to discuss best practices for cooperating on topics of global importance. In his speech, Pope Benedict encouraged the participants to spread the Church's social doctrine and counter the fruits of a relativistic logic.
I encourage you then to counter relativism creatively by presenting the great truths about man's innate dignity and the rights which are derived from said dignity.
What is needed, he said, is a spirit of solidarity conducive for promoting those ethical principles.
When experienced in solidarity, legitimate pluralism and diversity will lead not to division and competition, but to ever greater effectiveness. The activities of your organizations will bear genuine fruit provided they remain faithful to the Church Magisterium, anchored in communion with her pastors, and above all with the successor of Peter, and meet in a spirit of prudent openness the challenges of the present moment.
As the Holy See's permanent observer to the UN in Geneva, Archbishop Silvano Tomasi works closely with faith-based NGOs and was a key speaker at this forum in the Vatican. He told Philippa Hitchin more about the aims of the meeting.
The meeting we are attending is very focused. It deals with those Catholic-inspired organizations that are active with intergovernmental bodies. So it's not all Catholic associations or NGOs, but it's very specific. Second point to keep in mind, it seems to me, to understand this meeting, is that we have arrived at a moment of decision. There's been an historical process evolving. After World War I, after World War II, after Vatican Council II, there were Catholic organizations developed and were born, developed, but each one of these has also aged. And we have arrived at the point, at the beginning of this third millennium, that some of the organizations that were active with intergovernmental bodies had kind of exhausted their energy. And new ones have emerged. And the new ones come from ecclesia movements, from new lay initiatives, from religious communities of men and women who want to be represented where the big decisions of the international community are made, and emphasizing their charism, poverty for the Franciscans, migration for the Scalabrinians, education for the Marist brothers. And in that way, they want to be able to say a word and to influence the decisions that are going to affect the international culture and international decisions. So, first of all, it's an opportune moment to meet and compare notes. Second, to plan together. One of these organizations should be left alone to develop its own talents and its own charism. But at the same time, there should be communication. We should know what's going on. In other words, if there are three or four Catholic-inspired organizations that are concerned with education and schools, they should know what they are doing among themselves, although each one develops its own agenda. So this is what I think this meeting is going to bring about: a mutual knowledge, increased communication, a minimum of coordination, and a link with the permanent observers of the Holy See that are in place in these capitals of the international life, like Geneva, New York, Brussels, Vienna. And in this way, the Catholic tradition, the Christian values, have a better chance to be presented and to be supported.
That was the Holy See's permanent observer to the United Nations in Geneva, Archbishop Silvano Tomasi, speaking to my colleague Philippa Hitchin. Pope John Paul was a giant on the world stage during his papacy, and even now he is storming the charts as the star of a new DVD, which has been described as an impressionistic view of his life set to music. The DVD is called Santo Subito and takes its title from the "Make him a saint immediately" chants that were shouted out by crowds at his funeral mass. The music on the hour-long DVD ranges from trip-hop through acoustic guitar to orchestral recording and Gregorian chants. In a couple of clips, the late Pope is heard singing. The footage spans from the 1978 conclave that elected Cardinal Karol Wojtyła as Pope to his funeral in 2005. Images include his trips to Africa, the Holy Land, and a Nazi concentration camp, and more personal moments, like his meeting with his would-be assassin Mehmet Ali Ajka and visiting sick people with Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta. The DVD has just been released in the United States after earlier being released in Europe and elsewhere in the world. Santo Subito was made by the Italian Pauline recording company San Paolo Multimedia, and its musical producer was Vincent Messina, who spoke to me about the aims of the project.
Before the mountains were born, or the earth, or the world brought forth, you are God, without beginning or end.
Basically, what we wanted to do was to try a new technology or the most modern tools in order to spread the message of John Paul II. And as you know, the message of John Paul II has been, according also to non-believers, such a universal and such a potent message that we, in a way, try to build up a celebration of his life and his main issues, which are, as everyone knows, forgiveness, reconciliation, and peace among all people.
Santo Subito is the title you've given it, which means make him a saint straight away. And of course, as we all know, that was the chant that we first heard at his funeral. Do you think that this DVD will add impetus to the campaign to make him a saint? And in fact, why did you choose that title?
The day of the funeral, Don Giulio Neroni and I were watching it on TV, and at a certain point we looked at each other and we said, he said something like, we should join this request coming from people, and maybe that's what we should do. So yes, the idea of this DVD is to simply to become part of all that people who's asking for him to be canonized.
And do you think in fact this DVD will then definitely add an impetus to that?
I hope so. If I look at the numbers, at the little numbers that we have available at this point after a month from release, the website santosubitoonline.com has been visited by over 200,000 people. This means that people that maybe didn't have a chance to come to Rome for the funeral, or people who live so far away, they do have a chance through this type of tools like the website and the DVD to be part of this request.
How long is the DVD, and what are some of the most dramatic scenes that it portrays?
The DVD is 1 hour long, and it's divided in 10 chapters. As a matter of fact, we don't follow a precise chronology, but the very first clip that we have, it's a short clip of John Paul II, of Karol Wojtyła, before the conclave. And the last one, the last clip, is the clip of the funeral, for which the composer, British composer Simon Boswell, has written a gorgeous a beautiful, a fantastic Requiem. In this DVD, we have basically the scenes of his many trips all around the world, but also there is a big part of film that we actually shot. Let's say also that our aim is not only to provide an instrument of prayer, but also an instrument of meditation for non-believers as well. The most touching clip, as far as I'm concerned, is the clip about the Holy Spirit and peace when he visited concentration camps in Poland. And I also find it very touching because of the, not only because of the power of the scenes and the power of the images, but also because of the music.
No! All'egoismus. No!
The music, in fact, ranges from hip-hop through acoustic guitar to Gregorian chant, to name just but some. How effective do you feel the music is in helping to convey the message that you're trying
First of all, there is no hip-hop. There is some little trip-hop, which is quite different from hip-hop. In Don Giulio Neroni's and my mind, we always had this idea that we wanted to do something for the youth. So not only we have the overwhelming suggestion of the voice of John Paul II, but that's the basic of the idea, is that if we match, put together that voice with some music arrangement, we have an incredible effect.
So how are sales going so far? Do you have any figures?
The distribution, the circulation, according to Universal numbers, I've just been informed that out of these 200,000 copies initially distributed, 83,000 have been sold so far.
Have you had any feedback from purchasers so far?
Well, when I have time, I browse on the internet, and I was quite impressed of the comments that many people who bought it are writing on blogs or newspapers. Especially in UK, there's been a fantastic reaction from this point of view.
Do you have any idea what age most of the people who are buying the DVD are? Is it mainly young people?
I can have a scientific idea, but again, from the information that I'm gathering around, especially from the websites like Amazon or many other websites where people who bought it write their comments, there is actually a bigger amount of young people who's purchasing the DVD, which is exactly what we wanted. It makes us very, very happy. I think this DVD is even beyond religion in a way. When you talk about issues like peace, like love, it's so universal. And people, and this I'm experimenting myself personally with a lot of people I'm in touch with, they call me up and they say, even though they're not Catholic, they're not believers, everyone gets so overwhelmed by the intensity of this DVD. The intensity, again, is provided firstly by the power of his voice and by the support that the music provides. This may sound strange, but I keep not thinking in terms of sales. I look at it in terms of how many people gets in touch with it. We want it to reach as many people as possible, so we decided to release it at the lowest possible price. And even the packaging is poor in a way. That's been a choice because we wanted to make it available for everyone possible. So I'm happier when I think that in 4 weeks the website has had more than 200,000 contacts, which is exactly what the top pop star of the moment is having.
So you're saying that the late Pope is selling as well as a pop star at the moment in terms of this DVD?
When I read these titles, the Pope is going to challenge the pop stars in the charts. Of course, I know what journalist's job is like, and that makes me smile, but I don't look at it that way. I just hope that this DVD helps as many people as possible to think and meditate about John Paul, because the main motivation for us has been to spread his message.
Pater noster, pies in celis, sancti vicetur nomen tuum, adveniat regnum.
Sì alla speranza!
mejor.
I was speaking there to Vincent Messina, co-producer of the Santo Subito DVD, which you can purchase from the website santosubitoonline.com. The 30th International Conference of the Red Cross and Red Crescent ended in Geneva last week with a commitment from over 1,500 delegates to provide greater collaboration in the face of humanitarian crises. The conference focused on the ICRC's response to four particularly threatening developments: recurrent diseases or health pandemics, international migration, urban violence, and environmental degradation. As the Holy See's permanent observer to the UN in Geneva, Archbishop Silvano Tomasi addressed the conference, which took place from November 26th to 30th. He told Philippa Hitchin more about his concerns and about an historic agreement reached during the meeting to provide vital humanitarian assistance to victims of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
As it is by now traditional, the Holy See delegation that participated in this 30th International Conference of the Red Cross made its position well known to the over 3,000 members participating. The objective, the goals of this conference were very clear: to find new humanitarian responses to emerging disasters, man-made or nature-made. Among these possible eventual moments of tragedy, four areas were identified as critical. One was migrations and the consequences of movement of people today. Another was the environment and what happens to the environment when there is a climate change or there is this warming process that some scientists are contesting, but some others are saying will have very tough consequences. And similar type of preoccupations. The point of view of the delegation of the Holy See has been that of emphasizing that first, we need to plan in a way that solidarity becomes concrete. That is, we have to anticipate as much as possible. But then when these tragedies struck, we need to have a collective response in a way that it is effective. And above all, that keeps always the presence of the person on the forefront. During the debates that went on at this conference, there was one that was particularly difficult: an agreement between the Palestinian Red Cross, Red Crescent Society, and the Israeli equivalent that is called the Magen David Adom. And there was for a while the feeling that there was no possibility of negotiating an agreement which would have been in contrast to the goodwill expressed in Annapolis at the meeting between the political representatives of Israel and the Palestinian Authority. But finally, late at night, an agreement was reached so that the ambulances of the Red Crescent Society can go into East Jerusalem and with their own symbol and their own identity. And this is a beginning of almost an historical step to develop goodwill between Palestinians and Israelis. It's a small area of concern, but it's an area where lives are saved.
What would you say was the most significant factor in breaking this deadlock between the Israeli and the Palestinian organizations?
I think that the European Union, the American in particular, the United States representatives, showed that to the two parties contesting that one or the other aspect of the resolution, showed very clearly that it was in the interest of the humanitarian action that needs to be carried out by anyone who identifies with the Red Cross, Red Crescent tradition. And the lives were at stake and lives need to be saved. And I think by insisting on this humanitarian dimension, there was the possibility to bring the two parties close together and finally to agree on a joint resolution. And that was negotiated actually over 2 years ago at the diplomatic conference where the new symbol of the red diamond was introduced, that I was there, even we stay even up to 3 o'clock in the morning to negotiate that kind of deal. But now there seems to be enough goodwill that in the memorandum of understanding between the two parties will be translated into action. And as of yesterday, we got word from Jerusalem that the ambulances began to function within East Jerusalem.
As you say, this is a very significant step forward in this area of tension between the humanitarian and the political, not just there in the Middle East, isn't it?
It's a symbol that is presented to the world saying there are possibilities of men and women of goodwill working together to save lives and to build a quality of life for the population that they try to serve that is worth of being called human. And I think instead of the daily violence that we witness in the reports coming from the Middle East, we switch to a more constructive and more positive approach.
That was the Holy See's permanent observer to the UN in Geneva, Archbishop Silvano Tomasi, talking to Philippa Hitchin. That's all from us here at the English programme for today, but we hope you have enjoyed listening to us. We'll be back on the air at the same time tomorrow, so be sure to join us then, if you can. Don't forget, you can hear us at any time of the day or night by clicking on our website. That's www.vaticanradio.org. We'd also love to hear your comments or suggestions by sending us an email or writing us a letter. You're listening to Vatican Radio. Laudato Jesus Christus.